back to Coffee and Crime with me, Colette.
And me, Izzy.
So we just got back from eating dinner because we need a little break from Izzy's episode, which was super depressing.
Yeah. We had some nice stuff we cooked.
Yeah.
And had a delicious dessert, but we're very full now, so we're trying to stay alive for this. But
yeah, we feel kind of ill. I'm sure we can manage it.
Yes.
So this episode is going to be my murder, and I am doing a story which was an Elle article, which is sort of how I originally saw it. I think I saw it linked on a BuzzFeed article.
Oh, Elle magazine.
Yeah. I have got, hang on. It was written by Holly Malia on Elle, and the article is called Trial by Twitter, but it is the murder of Skylar Neese.
Okay, I've not heard of this.
So a couple of, what's the word I'm looking for? A couple of record breakers, I guess. This is our first double female murder. And our first one person murderer. No, what? One.
Our one first, victim.
Yes. Non-serial killer.
Yeah.
don't think that's an achievement for me, but it's interesting. So, here we go. Skylar Neese met... It's going to get confusing. Two of them have very similar names. So, yeah. Skylar Neese is the victim. Met Sheila Eddy in elementary school when they were 8. And then both of them met Rachel Schoaf in their freshman year of University High School in West Virginia, which I just put a note in for our UK people.
Mm-hmm.
That's year 10. And that was in September 2010 that they met her. And when she was 16, she had a 4.0 GPA, which, I'm British, but that is still pretty impressive. A part-time job at Wendy's. And it said she was just sort of very successful and popular. And Skylar and Sheila, which were the two that met originally, were opposites. And the mum said that Skylar thought she could save her.
Thought she could save Sheila.
Yeah, because Sheila, basically, her parents were divorced. And I don't think she got on that. I don't know, she was quite wild and free.
Mm.
And sort of did what she wanted. And apparently... she would always phone Skylar, and then Skylar would always be trying to give her advice because she'd got in fights with whoever. They were quite opposite, it sounds like, to me, because I can picture the type of people that I know that sound like Sheila.
Yeah.
And they do sound quite different. So I just put here that Sheila was much wilder and freer. And Skylar enjoyed classics like Great Expectations and Twilight, which was classed as a classic. But she enjoyed literature.
Yeah.
When
was this, can I just ask?
So they met Rachel Schoaf in September 2010.
Okay.
So it was sort of happened around then, I can't remember, I have got the year. 2012.
Approximately,
It was in 2012.
Okay,
so they're not that much older than we are.
Mm.
Sheila Eddy originally was the one that met Rachel, and then she was introduced to Skylar.
Yeah.
And Rachel Schoaf was Catholic and from a very, very religious household. Mm-hmm. So she actually used to go away on Christian camps, which actually comes into it a bit later. Mm. So Rachel and Skylar used to compete to be friends with Sheila because she was the popular, cool one. I don't know if Sheila was doing it intentionally, but they were kind of pitted against each other. I always find that in friendship groups of three,
it does get like that sometimes, doesn't it? Because sometimes people seem a bit closer and then there's
and then one of you always kind of feels
a bit left out.
So apparently that was because Skylar and Sheila had been best friends since they were 8.
Mm.
And then Rachel kind of came in and took Skylar's place a little bit. I think that caused some tension. So I've put a note here. So Rachel was the redheaded, tall one of the group. And she was religious and a star in school plays. So she wanted to be an actress. Skylar was the brunette, cherubic, spirited, and loyal. This was in the Elle article. This is how they were all described. So this is basically quoting her. Shelia was down for anything, charismatic, sexual, and beautiful. So she was like the, basically the cool one of the three that like had quite an active social life. And apparently she used to give very, very detailed recounts of the sex she was having. And Skylar kind of lived like vicariously through her because she wasn't having sex and stuff. So there was a lot of tension within the group because Rachel had effectively replaced Skylar as Shelia's best friend.
Yeah.
This is a lot of names. Sorry, it's confusing. No, it's
okay. I'm following.
So on the 21st of August 2011, Rachel and Shelia and Skylar were all in a bathroom. I think, Rachel's bathroom. And they'd taken some of Rachel's parents' alcohol, so like a bit drunk. And Rachel and Shelia started making out, and then Skylar was literally third wheeling. And it's thought that she kind of like wanted to leave a bit, but she didn't want to get them in because obviously you don't really want to sit there. Well, third wheel anyone is just uncomfortable. But she didn't want them to get in trouble for having alcohol, like having stolen alcohol from the parents. Because she was so religious. Rachel was so religious. So she didn't leave the bathroom because she didn't want them to get in trouble. So I think it was quite a...
But why would they have gotten in trouble? What if she'd have gone down and the parents had seen her? Or...
I don't know. I think because they were like a bit tipsy, I think. Probably might
have... Oh, what if they... But if they noticed she was tipsy, yeah. She left her.
But I think overall it was quite like a... tense friendship group and quite like catty, I guess I would say, because girls can be very bitchy in groups. I think it can kind of
there's like rivalry.
Exactly. So basically the whole situation was kind of getting very, very tense. So on the 5th of July 2012, Skylar went missing after her shift at Wendy's. And CCTV footage showed her getting into a car at 12:35 a.m. So she climbed out of her window and went and got in the car. So it wasn't, she wasn't abducted. It was like her choice. Or that's what it looked like from CCTV footage. So on the 6th of July 2012, her mum reported her missing because she'd missed work. And that was the first time she'd ever not shown up for a shift.
Yeah.
And on the same day, Shelia says that they had, because these missing reports had come in, she said that they'd snuck out the night before and that they'd driven around Star City in Virginia and they were getting high and that the two girls had dropped her back off at the house. So she said that basically her and Rachel had all gone out, got high, and then dropped Skylar back at the house. And there was no... CCTV footage of her getting back in the window. It was kind of assumed that they dropped her and she ran. Basically, so originally it was kind of assumed she was a runaway because they didn't see any reason. Like, no one hated her, no one would have done anything. But then also it didn't really make sense for her to run away because she had a pretty decent life. And then on the 7th of July, also 2012, Shelia and her mum helped Skylar's parents canvas and search for her, for Skylar. And then Rachel left for a two-week Catholic camp, which is, like, her religion kind of comes back into it. And then on the 9th of July, the media were alerted to her disappearance, and investigators initially believed she had overdosed at a party, and they had hidden her body, as in Rachel and Shelia. So basically, they thought that the thing about going out and getting high was true, but that she'd, I think it said on heroin, they thought she'd overdosed on.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then they'd got scared and didn't want, because obviously heroin is illegal.
And also she died, so that was another scary thing.
So they didn't want to get in trouble, so it sort of believed that they'd hidden her body somewhere. But her mum said that her contact lenses, security blanket, which was her mum's old nightgown, I think, hair straightener and everything were still at home. So her parents knew she hadn't run away because apparently she hated her curly hair.
Okay.
So she straightened it every day. So if she'd run away, it would be weird. Especially for me, because I wear glasses. Contact lenses is such a weird thing to leave at home because then you can't see. I know you can obviously have your glasses with you, but I don't know, that just seems really strange to me. So on the 17th of August 2012, missing posters were put up for her. So that's sort of, what, a month and 12 days that from her going missing to this happening. So that's, I can't remember what it was I saw it on, but basically the first 24 or 48 hours in a missing person's case are like the most important, because if someone's kidnapped someone and they're going to kill them, they normally keep them alive for sort of, I can't remember if it's 24, 48 or 72.
But something like that,
within the first 3 days.
Good to know if one of us gets kidnapped. That's fun.
Because that's seen a couple of, there's a Netflix show called Real Detectives, which is basically detectives telling their story. And apparently you basically, the minute they go missing, if you think they were kidnapped, you don't, you literally work like a 24-hour shift.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's so, so important that you do everything you can, because after that, they're probably dead. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, it's still super important to then find the body and find the person.
Yeah.
But it's obviously better if you find them alive, So the aftermath of these missing things. So on the 22nd of August, Sheila posted on Facebook in quote, I'm going to quote, so start of quote, Skylar, come back, sad face. I seriously can't deal with school without you. I miss you too much. End of quote. And Jessica Colbank, who was the lead police, or not the lead police officer, one of the police officers, felt that Rachel and Sheila were lying because Sheila was apparently, basically it said in the Elle article that she was unemotional except if there was a question she didn't want to answer and then she would like turn on the waterworks. So she would only become emotional if it seemed like she was trying to get out of answering things. And Rachel was really, really chilled out, and when they spoke to her she would say things like, oh, I already told you this, so that was really scripted. And apparently she was, I can't remember if it said she was super vague or too deep. I think she was detailed about things that would make it seem like she wasn't lying, but then was kind of was skipping over some things. So this woman who was the police officer was like kind of suspicious of them both. Understandably, that is a, I guess it's kind of, I don't know if you've seen the Netflix series, movie, I think it's just called Amanda Knox.
Yeah, I've seen it.
A lot of people, obviously, is she guilty, is she not? But her response, I think often your response to a murder can...
Yeah, it's so hard though, isn't it? Like, thinking about how different people deal with...
Yeah, exactly. Because Amanda Knox, the thing was that she was laughing.
Yeah.
Which,
but then
I...
Yeah, but then I suppose you laugh when you hear... about other, you know, other, like,
things
you can detach yourself from, but her roommate actually died.
And she was she found...
But I'm always inclined to, like, you know, say people aren't guilty.
I don't think she is. I did.
There's something about her which is... But as always, I never think anyone's... You know, I feel like I can get sucked in really easily. And
true.
But there was just... It's just the way... And obviously it's scripted for the documentary... But it's like, when she was like, when she says that...
I'm either the wolf.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean...
That came off very, like...
braggy. Or she almost, says... I can't remember the exact quote, she says...
I'm either, you know...
People
innocent.
Don't...
No, I'm either innocent...
She's... Basically what she's saying, I think I can. She says that if she's guilty, then... She got away with killing someone.
But if she...
And if she's innocent, people are scared of her because...
That could be them.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's been, like, pinned for a crime she didn't commit. But I find it difficult because I don't think her laughing is...
Yeah.
Like, a massive indicator that she did it. You can't, that's not evidence. I think the bit I struggle with is that she got home, I think her front door was wide open, but I'm not 100% sure, but she had a shower and there was blood all in the bathroom. And I get sometimes you kind of go in your house on autopilot, but I'm sure her front door was open.
But she missed the blood until she got out of the shower.
Yeah.
But then again, that is some, like... I can see myself doing that because I've missed big things, you know, like, just haven't noticed because I'm just not...
Yeah.
Like, I know it's, like, seems really obvious, but it doesn't seem impossible.
Yeah. No, me neither.
But that's...
I find that more compelling than her laughing.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. I find that more strange. And the bit that I don't like, she was, like, making out with her boyfriend a lot at the crime scene, which... And I know a lot of people,
but
she was, like, hanging around the crime scene.
It always makes me think, like, if you had committed that crime and you didn't want to be caught, because she obviously doesn't, because
mm-hmm.
she's said a lot of times, you know, that she's innocent and she's fought for her release and everything, then why would you be doing something so obvious? Like, would you not be more calculated?
I think it's so different. Yeah. There's so many different types of killers. So there's, like, Ed Kemper, I feel like I mention Ed Kemper nearly every episode. Ed Kemper, and obviously recently we had the Golden State Killer, just got caught. Both of those were super involved with law enforcement. So obviously Golden State Killer was a policeman, or, like, in law enforcement. Dennis Rader, who's BTK, he also worked for, like, a park ranger
type
a government agency, basically. So some serial killers put themselves heavily into the investigation. So Ed used to sit with the police officers every night and they used to tell him about the case. So it's difficult because it's like she could be close to it because she cares about her dead roommate, or she could be close to it because she's trying to make herself look less suspicious, but then it makes her look more... It's difficult because there's just so many different types of killers.
It is so crazy to me that if they die, then it's just, you know, you will never, ever, ever know. And then it just fades into the past.
I know.
And you just never know. That's so frustrating.
That's why the one thing that I hate about Zodiac is that I think it's Arthur Lee Allen. And he died so... Spoiler, but you should listen to our episode about Zodiac.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of weeks before they were gonna... I think they were getting, like, a search warrant or something.
Yeah.
And I find that so annoying, which I think is why so many people were so happy about the Golden State Killer, because obviously it's satisfying enough that they caught him. But it's like, while he was alive and he's old... He's so old now that they could, like, if it'd be maybe another even year or another 5 years, he probably would have been dead, I think. And I don't know if it was you, I can't remember who I was talking to, that I saw someone said that the way that he got caught was because he did one of those, you know, you can go do those DNA tests now where you find out your ancestry.
Oh.
He took one of those,
and
there's a thing that you have to tick. Apparently, I haven't seen it in the news, but this is, I think, how...
Yeah.
You have to tick a thing that says they can keep your DNA on record. So they had a record of his DNA, and obviously there was DNA from the victims.
Clearly just...
Yeah. Shot himself in the foot really bad. And... They didn't have enough evidence, so they sent, like, a SWAT team and they got something else with his DNA on.
But he must have really wanted that.
Yeah.
Ancestry thing.
I'm sure that's what it was. It might not have been him, it might have been his daughter took...
Oh, okay.
Or someone, but...
That is satisfying, though.
I know. It's so good.
We have gone so off topic.
I know. For 10 minutes.
Steer back yourself. So continue.
On the 2nd of October 2012, another Facebook post by Sheila about Skylar. So the highlights that I've taken, it was a really long Facebook post, but she put, "Come back so we don't look like loners anymore. Lol, school is so hard without you. Actually, everything is hard without you."
Yeah.
Which, the "school is so hard without you, actually everything is hard without you," I was like, that's actually nice. But then, "come back so we don't look like loners anymore."
But I think that's just, like, a bit of a joke. You know, I don't think it's that...
I find it too... It's a...
To me, I just find that kind of, like, a bit of self-deprecation and, like, a different way of saying, like... I
find it a bit like you're ruining it for us.
I do. To me, that doesn't come off like that, but it really depends on the intention, doesn't it?
I think, because obviously I know the whole thing. I think that kind of sways it. So, two random people, and I'm not, I think they had like pseudonyms, had been taunting them on Twitter.
Taunting.
Sheila and Rachel. Oh, okay, yeah. Had been tweeting stuff at them about, like, oh, how does it feel? Like, you killed your best friend, blah, blah, blah. And they were getting really, really annoyed. So, one law enforcement officer created a Twitter account as basically a catfish because they felt that the personality types of Sheila and Rachel were such that if they had killed her, they would want to tell people about it. So, you know, in another tangent, the confession tapes, they use that Mr. Big
this
thing.
I was just going to bring this up. I was like, I was just going to wait. Because I was thinking, this is another, it's exactly like Mr. Big.
Yeah. It is that type of thing. So some killers need to tell people, which Ed Kemper turned himself in because he wasn't getting recognition. Yeah. Ed Kemper again.
Again. But I am still annoyed with the confession tapes thing.
Yes, me too.
That's still, it's not a real confession in my opinion, but I'm sure someone told me that it's another one of those documentaries where actually
it's biased. Making a Murderer, apparently.
Yeah, apparently,
I'm so annoyed.
Apparently you would believe it's
not him. Like,
oh, I thought you would believe it was him if you knew everything.
I meant from the documentary.
Oh, it's easy to believe it's not him.
I don't think it's him. But then our teacher said that she thought he was guilty just from the documentary. So
I stopped watching that. I don't know why, it didn't really hook me.
No, I
watched one episode.
I found it, not gonna lie, it was a bit, I think one of the best Netflix documentaries is The Keepers, which is,
oh, I think I've got that on my list.
It's so good.
Yeah.
You should watch it. Also Mindhunter.
But I'm so rubbish, but I'm always in the mood, like, when I watch Netflix, for some, like, escapism, something funny, something just
chilled
out.
I think that's kind of why I like, I mentioned this in the last episode, but Wild Wild County. I've seen, like, 3.5 episodes now. There's only 6. But it's quite nice, because I find true crime fascinating, to have a true crime documentary that's not, I mean, where I'm up to, it might get worse. It's annoying because they're really sketchy and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, The Keepers was so heavy, I couldn't even watch a full episode in one sitting. It was like you would watch 10 minutes and then you would have to
break.
Stop. Yeah. That's, it's like, so heavy.
13th, I really want to watch it. Yeah. But I feel so like good. I need to be in the right mindset to absorb it almost. I haven't seen it, so I have no idea. It just seems like something which is going to really, like, weigh on you and, like, really make
it
you
did
think.
But I
is it I it's probably less traumatic or something
no
it?
It was
oh
horrible, but I think in a weird way it was kind of, I found it a little bit inspiring because you've all of the people they're interviewing want change.
Yeah, okay.
So although they're talking about horrible things,
is it a bit more, like, positive for the future?
Yeah, it's them talking about, this is what's happened, but this isn't how we want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. And this isn't how it will always be. I don't know, I found it, the people in it were really, really good. I think that was such a well done.
I'm so looking, do you know what I could do? I'm on a 5-hour bus Journey Tomorrow.
Yes.
Download it.
Yeah.
Ask my, oh no, I think he's already watching it. I was going to say, ask my bus partner if he wants to watch it with me, but actually I think he's already seen it. Watch it on my own.
Okay, or get watch, some headphones. Alternatively.
I'll just download
the Wild one. Wild Country.
Space,
so. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Back to this. Good. So, basically they set up, like, catfish Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
So, the person that was the catfisher was Chris Berry, who was in his late 20s. I think he was, like, 26, 27.
Mm.
It was quite amusing in the article.
The
it said
catfishers. Yeah. Cool.
In the article, he said he didn't even know what a retweet was, or he didn't...
Oh, God.
Like, he didn't know anything about Twitter.
To be fair, I know barely anything.
Twitter is a confusing.
I never use it. I just go on Instagram to see all the highlights of the good tweets, screenshots.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, they set him up as a catfisher because he was, like, quite attractive.
Okay.
So, surveillance footage, which I mentioned before, so CCTV footage.
Yeah.
That showed her getting in the car. There was further surveillance footage from, like, restaurants and things, which showed Sheila's car, because it had been proven that it was her car.
Yeah.
That picked her up. Was okay. Driving west, but she'd claimed they'd gone to Star City, which was east. And Sheila was, like, bragging about how she'd passed... Apparently, people overheard her at school. She was bragging about how she had definitely passed her polygraph test.
Ooh.
Then on the... Yeah. Interesting choice.
Brilliant.
Good for you. Then on the 12th of December...
That's so risky. What are these people doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Then on the 12th of December 2012, which was the day the world was supposed to end.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel jumped out of her father's car because she was on the way to take a polygraph test.
God. I remember what I was doing that day. That's so weird.
Wow. Good memory.
Because I was sitting in an RE class, like...
Oh, yeah.
Just... Do you remember that? Because we were just like, you know, could die right now. And we did not.
Yeah.
But anyway, continue. That's around.
So Rachel jumped out of her father's car instead of taking the polygraph test. And she ran to Sheila's mum's house. And then Jessica Colbank, who's the police officer, was kicked off the case.
Oh.
Because basically they phoned Sheila's mum and was like, do you know where Rachel is?
Mm.
And she was like, yeah, she's with me. And they were like, excuse me. Because basically she was like kind of harbouring, not a fugitive, but she was supposed to take a polygraph.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That she hadn't showed up to. So she was like being really protective of these two like suspects. And I know it's her daughter, so obviously, or one of them is her daughter.
But still, it's not appropriate.
She basically was kind of like interfering a bit with the case. So
yeah.
Jessica Colbank got annoyed at her. And then was kicked off the case.
Oh, I see. So that's why, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the 28th of December, Rachel's mum, Patricia, called 911 because her daughter was out of control. And apparently on the 911... Did you just see that?
No, okay. Can't read. Remember, okay. I haven't got my glasses on, so even though it's, like, less than a metre in front of me, I can't see anything.
So apparently in the 911 call, you could hear Rachel screaming in the background and, like, running around the house just... screaming words.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was admitted into Chestnut Ridge Center, which is a mental health facility.
Yeah.
Which meant that Sheila couldn't influence her anymore. And this is where it goes down. So Sheila wasn't allowed to visit Rachel until the 3rd of January 2013. But Rachel had struck a deal with the prosecution to basically, same as the one that you just did, get Sheila in trouble by wearing a wire so that she would incriminate herself. But it actually failed because Sheila was like, didn't speak to her and was being really off. So they think that she had a weird, well, she didn't know, but maybe she had something was weird. So she didn't say anything. But the reason Rachel struck a deal was basically, they took Rachel into a room and said, like, if you tell us what happened, we won't... You can get a lesser sentence, basically, a plea bargain. And if you get us something on Sheila, you can reduce your sentence. And they said something about, like, if she overdosed on heroin, it's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. And she literally just went, we stabbed her.
What?
And then the police were like, shit. Yeah.
Why didn't they just say she overdosed on heroin?
Good question.
Because they hadn't found her body.
So they were all super surprised because they still thought it was an overdose cover-up.
Yeah.
And then basically Rachel grabbed a bin because she thought she was going to be sick. Which also, like, if you think you're going to be sick retelling the story, maybe don't do it in the first place.
Was that why?
Because she thought it was going to make her vomit, that remembering it. She didn't want all the memories to come back.
This
don't do it in the first place then. Sorry, what? I hate this.
I've been trying so hard not to swear. Like... I sometimes trail off because, you know, it's just gonna come out and I have to, like, cut myself off.
Yeah. Sometimes I
just
find...
Just to express, like...
Yeah. So, every day, Sheila called Skylar's parents asking for updates, which made it seem like she genuinely cared. And apparently she, like, the family knew her so well that she could just walk into their house.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I don't know if she had a key or if they just left the door unlocked.
Yeah.
But... she used to just go there all the time, even if Skylar wasn't home, and, like, hang out with the parents or whatever. So it was super close.
Yeah.
So it wasn't weird that she was calling every day and asking for updates.
Yeah.
So the confession and the actual murder. I've kind of done this backwards, basically. Or, like, the beginning, what happened after, and then how the murder went down. So, in the spring of 2012, Sheila and Skylar kept fighting, which led to Sheila and Rachel joking about killing Skylar in a science class. And then, basically, they couldn't remember which one of them said it first.
The two of them couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, after that, basically, they started planning it. So, Rachel collected her father's shovel, and Sheila took two of her mum's knives.
Oh, God, they really...
Yeah, it was premeditated.
This is very dark.
Yeah, they were...
I can't imagine making a joke, but the only joke would be like, oh my god, I could kill her, like, seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can she just...
Well, that's not a joke, but...
No, but like... not... No. But, you know, like, if someone's really annoying you...
Yeah, you say
not
it.
Not a literal way.
Yeah, yeah, you say it, like, oh, she's annoying. I mean, like, I can't even imagine saying...
You know, because sometimes you maybe make a bit of, like, a dark joke, but I can't really even imagine... saying, like, oh my god, should we just kill her?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a bit... That's just a step over the line.
Exactly, there, and I can't... It, if you said... You run right over the line.
Yeah, like,
but I can't imagine, like, we've known each other longer than ages, they have.
Like, 13 years.
Yeah, and I can't imagine if I was in whatever less... Just any time with you, and yeah, you went, I really want to kill this person, I'd be like...
Yeah, it's always
what
crazy
is wrong
to me
with you?
How many people
meet other people that are will like,
and that's like the person they suggest it to. It always seems to be the person they suggest it to is suddenly like.
That's what I've always wanted to do.
Like, when people are like, "I want to kill," like, my dad, and then the person's like, "Okay, let's do it."
Yeah,
like, what?
I would not be on board with this.
But I mean, to other, because, like, you know, if people say it and the other person's not, do they just think it's a joke?
I literally,
like,
don't understand.
Not on board with it. I just...
But also, it's such a risky thing. So if you said to me, I want to kill someone, there's nothing stopping me from going to the police.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, do people think it's... Does the person who has just heard someone say they want to kill someone think it's a joke?
I do not.
Because, like, would they not go to the police? Or do they just... I don't know.
I don't know. But, so the shovel, cleaning supplies, and a change of clothes were put in the back of Sheila's car when they drove to meet Skylar, which was where they picked her up and she climbed out of the window.
But they're friends. They're such close...
They've known each other since they were 8.
But they're proper friends. Like, she's going to her house. They're not, like... You know, like, constantly. If she's close to her parents and everything, they're not, like, really frenemies. I know there's a bit of bitchiness and tension, but...
Well, there was... A part where basically Sheila was on a call with Skylar and they were yelling at each other.
Oh.
And Sheila put her on speaker and didn't tell anyone, didn't tell Skylar that she was on speaker.
Oh.
Yeah. So they had the knives under their hoodies wrapped in rags so that they didn't accidentally cut themselves.
Yeah.
And when they pulled up at the house, they moved the knives from under their hoodies, it didn't say where they were, to their armpit area, and then they called her and she came out. So Skylar brought a bong with her, and Rachel had a pipe, which, are they the same thing? I don't know. Okay. Me, I don't know anything, because they'd told her they were going to go get high somewhere, because that's what they did quite a lot.
Yeah.
So this literally is making me feel physically ill. So they drove to the edge of the woods, and then Rachel said on three, because Skylar had stood up to get the lighter, and that was the signal that they'd pre-arranged, was that one of them would say on three, and then they would count down from three.
What was the plan? Just stab her?
They began stabbing her from behind, and at one point Skylar...
Oh my god.
Skylar managed to escape, but Rachel tackled her, and Skylar grabbed the knife and cut Rachel below her knee, and Rachel told the police that basically the thing that Skylar kept saying was she kept asking why, and like, yeah, obviously you would do if you're...
Yeah, you would never expect...
No.
Like, that's like ridiculous. That's like something that doesn't happen.
Exactly. And it's not like they had an argument and in a fit of rage.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh, they had had arguments.
No,
but it's not.
That wasn't when they were
in that
the
moment.
Argument.
They were. Yeah.
Wouldn't, I don't know. I just don't think I could. I mean, obviously you couldn't kill someone anyway, but in that setting.
Yeah. It's your
even if
best
you have, even if you have
friend.
The plan, you're just sitting there. You're just like chilling out.
Exactly. I was going to say, were they high at the time? But obviously not. If she was leaning to get the lighter, probably not. So Rachel took the police to the murder site after she confessed. But it was really, really snowy, so they didn't manage to find the body because she was disoriented. And Rachel and Shelia's meeting at Chestnut Ridge, which is what I said earlier, was unsuccessful because Shelia was too suspicious that she had like a wire. So after that their friendship started fizzling out, and Shelia didn't really visit her after that. I don't know why. They think it's because like Shelia was kind of, they don't know, I have a feeling she was like the ringleader of and she couldn't control Rachel anymore, so she kind of got a bit fed up and just didn't see the point of visiting her, because she didn't seem like she actually liked any of her friends.
Yeah.
So on the 16th of January 2013, Detective Gaskins found human remains 40 feet from the road, and they were covered with branches and debris. So basically the shovel that Rachel had brought was in order to bury the body, but they found that the ground was too rocky, so they dragged her away.
Oh.
Her head was separate from her body, and the skull was found later. And a cell phone was also found, and the SD card pictures that were on there matched with pictures on Skylar's Instagram. So basically, was her phone. I find this really, really hard.
Yeah.
I think because they're like the same.
Laugh, just
no.
Once again, to put that out there.
I think because they're so close, I don't know, I just find the whole thing horrible. Obviously,
yeah,
it is horrible. Just, I can't...
Very, like, unimaginable. Like,
yeah.
Just how does that even...
Exactly. So, on the 22nd of January, Shelia tweeted, "I wonder if there's a Law and Order SVU, which is Special Victims Unit, where they don't figure it out." So that was after the remains had been found. And on February 2nd, Rachel tweeted, "This bitch is not going to ruin my life all over again." And on and on the 8th of March, "My past is my past. Move the fuck on."
They're not very careful with
their tweeting. Exactly. All three were very active on Twitter, with Shelia alone, before like all this happened, she had 4,374 tweets.
Tweets? I thought you were going to say followers. Tweets?
No.
Whoa.
She had the most. I think they had 8,000 in total ish around that.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That's a lot of tweets, yeah.
Like, I have.
That's multiple a day.
I think I have three tweets, maybe.
I think I have one. I'm so uncool.
Same.
I sometimes think of things which I'm like,
yeah, same, but then I don't
funny want for people... Twitter, but then it's like,
no one would like my tweet, and I can't deal with that.
And also, it might be, you know, people might read it who we like go to college with or school. I don't want to be judged.
Exactly. So then, 13th of March 2013, the body was identified as Skylar's, and Sheila tweeted things like, rest easy, Skylar. And basically acted like she hadn't done it.
Yeah.
Because obviously she didn't know Rachel had gone to the police. Rachel agreed to plead to second-degree murder for testimony against Sheila. And on March the 31st, 2003, Sheila and someone
2003?
Else... 2013, sorry. Oh. Yeah, we just jumped back.
Yeah.
Sheila was, like, having a Twitter conversation with someone. And she tweeted back to them as a reply and said, we really did go on three.
Oh, ooh. That took a while to make links in my head, but...
And then on On the 24th of April, she tweeted again saying, I hate when people blame their own actions and choices on others. Deal with it.
Did she fall on a knife?
Backwards,
yeah.
And on the 31st of April, Sheila was arrested while she was getting into her mum's car in a Cracker Barrel parking lot, which is like a
fast food
thing. And she was shocked because they think that she'd convinced herself that she'd gotten away with it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say convince herself she was innocent. And I was like, well, this is really wild.
Yeah. And the first thing she said was, don't put me in with any mean people. And she also asked if he had anything to tie her hair up with, because she said, people will see me in the back. And she didn't want people seeing her looking gross in the back of a police car. I was like, I would be more concerned with the fact that you're in a police car.
Come back out again.
Yeah, but also people are going to judge you more for being in the back of a police car than not having your hair up. So the trial, it began on January the 24th, 2014.
Okay.
And everyone in, like, the gallery wore purple because it was Skylar's favourite colour.
Aww.
I know. And Sheila Eddy was sentenced to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole in 15 years. And she said nothing other than yes, sir, and guilty, which was her plea. Yeah. So she didn't, because you're given, like, an opportunity to, like, if you want to say anything to the victim's family or whatever.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything. Rachel was sentenced a month later, and her apology, it was longer than this, but, like, this is the bit that I picked out. The person that did this was not the real me, not the person I am, not what I'm made of, and not what I believe in. I hurt the Neese family and those who loved Skylar. May God bring eternal peace to Skylar and the entire Neese family, and I pray each day for forgiveness.
That doesn't do it for me.
Me neither.
It just feels a bit... lacking for, like, I know it's hard to put it into words.
Yeah.
So was she kind of, you know, sick mentally when she did this? If she got admitted?
I don't
think. Did that factor in?
I don't.
It's just like, you don't really do, no one does that. And then to do that, and then you come back a year later and you're like, yeah, I've really hurt your feelings.
Yeah, but her dad, Skylar's dad, refused to accept the apology. Yeah. And her uncle made a speech about basically when she first went missing. He drove around and went to, like, car parks and with missing posters.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to give them to people and, like, say, have you seen this person? And it was raining. And everyone kept telling him to go away and no one would take them.
Yeah.
And basically he, like, went home sobbing, and apparently everyone in the courtroom, like, obviously other than the people that did it, because I doubt they
have that much.
Yeah. The entire courtroom was in tears.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor, whose name was Maria Ashdown, said, Rachel Schoaf described the scene as having lots of blood, and it was estimated that she was stabbed 10 times before she died. Skylar's neck, quote, made weird sounds, end quote, and they stabbed her until the noises stopped. Because they didn't know how to tell when someone was dead, so she stopped, like, gurgling or whatever. And in total, they stabbed her 30 to 50 times, but she died after 10, they think. Or that's what Rachel said. So, Rachel was sentenced to 30 years with parole eligibility in 10 years. This is like sort of just facts about Sheila. So between the 4th of July and the 10th of July, which was after she went missing. So she went missing on the 5th. But Sheila wrote and received 5,215 texts and calls in 6 days, which meant that she interacted with her phone around 869 times a day. And they think that the like trifecta that led to the killing was the submissive, which is Rachel, the dominant, which is Sheila, and social media basically hyping them up. And Skylar's parents have kept the bedroom the same, and they have her diary and belongings, and her parents have lockers around their neck containing her ashes. So the dad's is a cross and the mum's is heart-shaped, and they have a framed painting of Skylar in their living room.
Yeah.
And the rest of the ashes are in the back of that. And there's a video that Skylar's uncle took. There's a memorial where, like, the body was found. And he described it as a mirage, but it was, like, not a cloud, but kind of, like, light hitting something. And apparently the mirage looked like it, like, kind of rose out of the memorial and smiled. And Dave, which is her dad, said, "The first time I saw it, I just cried and cried and cried. She seems happy there." And then the L article says, "Dave brushes a finger across the screen, across Skylar's cheek, and says, 'See her smiling. She loves it there.'" So, yeah, that's...
Oh, that's so
I know. So I got my information mostly from the Elle article, which was written by Holly Malia, which I actually cut a lot of the information out because I'm crying now, but I found it
hard.
It was so hard. So I would really recommend reading that at home when you're not with other people and don't have to socialise. And some of the information I got was from an ABC news article. And if you Google, like, Skylar Niece, there's lots and lots of pictures of her and Rachel and everyone all together.
I'm going to do this now after.
Yes.
Just before I go home.
And there's a couple of YouTube videos of Rachel and Skylar together. And... you can still read all their tweets, other than Rachel's, whose Twitter account, I think it's Rachel, it's either Rachel or Skylar, Sheila. One of their Twitter accounts has been deleted. And then there's a website that, like, keeps all your Twitter records, and that's also been deleted.
Is there not screenshots?
Yeah, because there was some in the L article, so
there
must be some somewhere.
I feel like you can connect to it more sometimes when you see... the people and their faces.
Yeah, I'll have to show you the video I watched, which is just on YouTube if you just put Skylar Niece, which is N-E-E-S-E.
Okay.
Oh. Wow.
So,
that was...
leaving that on a bit of a sad note, but thank you for listening, and thank you for telling me that, Colette.
That's okay. I feel bummed out now.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sad, I hate that. That's... I feel like there's nothing remotely interesting about it. Like, it's literally just too...
interesting in what way?
Like...
like, special reasons for...
yeah, there's nothing that I can't understand what it is. And they still don't know what their motive was.
That made them go that far. Yeah,
I can't, because I've had arguments with friends, and that's never even once crossed my mind.
No, I mean...
obviously. I've never even punched anyone in my, like...
Punched anyone? I'm not surprised you haven't punched anyone.
Well, I'm just saying that...
I know. Well, I never really feel a feeling of, like, you know, aggression or violence.
Yeah.
No. You know, violence.
Yeah. But I don't find this case... nothing about it is satisfying, or there's nothing... yeah. That sounded weird.
It doesn't make sense. It's not like this happened
because
so you
of
see
this.
How they react had an emotional reaction. Isn't that There's nothing like that.
And it's not like they had a terrible childhood.
Yeah.
And maybe there's this psychological...
They're just normal people.
Yeah. It's not like there could be this psychological thing. It could be this or it could be this. It's just
these like people who we had around horrible. With yeah. at school. It could just be... It's just like...
Yeah. But it's like... Not... I find it so upsetting because it's literally... And like... It's just two people that just did like a horrible, horrible thing and have no... Like, what did it achieve? What... Why?
How? What did they feel from that? Like,
yeah,
there's no like fulfillment.
Yes, I think that's what it is, and
it's just like their lives are the same, but she's just gone.
Yeah,
obviously their lives aren't the same because they're in prison, but to them,
yeah, like I think that's what it is. There's nothing. I don't get anything
because it's not like they felt enjoyment. Even kidding, not that that's a good reason, but you know.
Yeah,
then that would be a reason because you could only feel the enjoyment from killing. They didn't feel enjoyment.
I just can't work out what.
Yeah.
There's nothing that makes me even think, oh, well, this happened, so I kind of feel bad. There's nothing that makes me feel anything for them, and I find that very unusual because I'm very, very, like, anti-death penalty. And
yeah.
Like some of our friends say, I'm too sympathetic with some serial killers. Not sympathetic.
I know myself, I can be a bit sympathetic because I'm like, well, they had this.
Yeah, but I find I like upset myself a bit with this because I can't find anything that makes me even like. There's nothing that I feel anything about towards Sheila and Rachel other than. Disgust, and I can't. I don't know. I just.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd recommend L article.
Go
have a read of that, and thank you very much. And we will hopefully see you next week if I've gotten over this by then. Bye.